Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there. It's Living and Thriving with Rusty time, and guess what? I'm Rusty, and it's Friday. Rarely do I ever host a show outside of Thursday, so today is a special day. It's beyond special. It's my 44th year going around this cosmos, flying, being mischievous, being ornery, falling in love, falling out of love, doing all these beautiful life things that we get to do. And so I wanted to share this morning with my friend Carrie Paxton Herzberger. She's very hard to tie down, and since I happen to have today off, it worked out beautifully. She's going to be tuning in shortly. It's just this beautiful day here in sunny Florida. It's really not actually sunny today. It's kind of cloudy and breezy and snuggle up, read a book, have some tea kind of day. And that's just perfect. You know, I work three jobs, and this radio show consumes a lot of my time, and I'm so grateful for everybody that participates and comes on and shares their story and motivates us and inspires us. But today is kind of a snugglebug kind of day, and it's my birthday, so snuggling on my birthday is totally cool with me. Bring out the champagne. Let's have some mimosas. I'm excited. So my friend Carrie, I believe, is on. Knock, knock. Carrie, is that you?
Yes, it's me.
Good morning. I'm so excited to finally have you on the show. It was like, you know, having to have 12 horsemen with lassos catching you. You're elusive and hard. Gosh.
Yeah, we did have quite a struggle there, didn't we?
We did, but you're here, and I'm so excited. So tell us who you are, what you do, and what makes you get up in the morning.
All right. I am Carrie Paxton Herzberger. I use both my names because I'm kind of caught in the middle of a six-year name change that I haven't gotten around to doing yet. So some of my old students and families know me by Paxton, but a lot of my new people know me by Herzberger, so I just say I'm both. Getting up in the morning, I am just driven by having this message that I need to get out to the world, and also spending time with my two girls. Like, both of those things are what keeps me going all the time.
And what's your message?
My message is that school or your school experience does not define you. It, of course, contributes to who you are. However, you are so much more than what your grades say and what your teachers say and what your school says about you. You're like a whole different person outside of that.
And that's what I love about you, and that's why I'm so psyched to have you on the show. And I'll give you a little trivia, you know, because one day when I become president, this trivia will be very important to everybody. When I was in school, I attended 23 public schools. We moved every 6 to 8 months. It was crazy. And out of 23 public schools, every single school minus one, or most of my teachers, minus one teacher throughout 23 schools, imagine this, said, oh, you should be a model. Oh, you should be a basketball player. You're so tall. Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's not really a lot to reach there, is there? You know, it's like, okay, you're beautiful, you're tall. Great. I'm actually kind of 3 to 4 to 5 dimensional, right? My first grade teacher, Mrs. Mayfield, may she rest in peace because I'm sure she's not around anymore, she was the only one that said you're going to be the first woman president.
Wow.
And today's my 44th birthday, and it's like she was the only person that really saw me as a multidimensional person. And I know that there's so many kids that experience that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you combat that kind of thing in kids? Because, you know, they're so multidimensional. They're not just one thing or another.
Yeah, well, it's it's so hard because, you know, that's kind of the message we are taught to give our children. And also, I take it a step further and say, I hate the emphasis on what you're going to be when you grow up.
I do too, because I'm not either.
So early.
Right.
You know, and it puts a lot of stress on kids. And really, when you think about it, when we're suggesting these things that they should be when they grow up, they don't have a clue what our world is about. They don't know the
right
options that are out there. And when we're suggesting things, when they're, you know, in first grade or second grade, sure, some of the same professions are going to be around, but really, like, it's so limiting because the world is going to be a different place in 20 years when they're looking to make an impact. Who knows what's out there? And when we're, like, feeding them these couple of choices or the one thing we think that they're going to be, the model or the basketball player or whatever, like, it's closing them off to seeing everything else and to developing other parts of them as people.
Well, and I find it really interesting because there was a time period in which women were only allowed to be a teacher or a nurse or a homemaker.
Right.
You know, the machinist or automotive person or athletic director. I mean, Jesus, it's 2020. We finally have our first female football coach. Like, mind-boggling.
Yep.
And I just sit back and think of how we just have spent hundreds of years boxing ourselves instead of being fluid. We're trying to trap this ideology. And I think education really doesn't do a great enough job anymore to stimulate students to think outside of that box.
Yeah, and it's still so job-driven, too. And while it's great, we need people who are going to work for other people, right? Like, our world thrives on that. But we also need people who are going to be starting the new things so that people can work for them. But yet, you know, in our education system, and really for the most part within our culture, we're still focused on the job. What is your job going to be? Not what are you going to create or who are you going to impact? So even just by looking at it from that point of view, we're still limiting our beliefs. And really the ones who bust out of those belief systems oftentimes in school are the ones who are not doing well, and they're looked at as weird or different or breaking the rules because they're just not interested in fitting into that box.
Well, and the No Child Left Behind, one educator to another, I mean, that's when I quit teaching. If you walk into a classroom, they have little stickers on the clocks for every 15 minutes where they change subjects. We have this whole concern about an uprise in ADHD, yet our classrooms do nothing but train us to be in that environment in which you're not focused and you're not able to really problem solve or create an environment in which popcorn thinking, which I absolutely love, paramount. 15 minutes machine, switch subject, 15 minutes. And I think that's creating a society of individuals that are numb to creating bigger and better things, if that makes
sense.
Yeah,
we're told what to do, how to do it, and we're told to sit down and be quiet and do it my way. But yet, at the same time, we have outside of school, we have this crazy constant stream of information coming at us from every which way. And like the two cultures, the school culture and the outside everyday life culture, are often in complete opposition. And it's really hard for kids to exist in that, sit down, be quiet, listen to me talk to you in this boring way and fill out this worksheet, when like in the real world it's nothing like that. And it's just, you know, it's crazy.
And I think it's even more difficult. You know, you and I are about close to the same age, and we are the last generation of creative thinkers. We're the last generation of fort builders, of BMX bike ramp builders, roller skaters, lizard catchers, chasing fireflies, you know, like mud pies and fairies in the trees. this generation now is so plugged in to devices as well, we have created a society in which we could very well get arrested for allowing our children to play outside, which is bizarre to me. It just blows my mind, you know. I remember being out until dark, and the only time I ever went home willingly or having to was when my middle name was called because I knew I was going to get my ass beat for something. I did something wrong.
You know, but that was bell. My parents had a bell, and when I heard it, I had to run home. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then if I couldn't hear the bell, the parents would just start calling all the other parents to see whose house we were at. But now it's like, it's like an event to have a play date, you know, like you have to call a parent, you have to set it up. There's time frames involved. And, you know, in some ways it's great because we have so many doors open to us of things that we can do. But at the same time, we lead such busy lives that our children are overscheduled and they're losing the meaning of play and just being. And they don't know how to be bored anymore. One of the things I always find myself telling kids of all ages is, it's okay to be bored.
Oh, my God, it's awesome to be bored.
Come out of boredom. And when I was in the classroom, I would teach my students, okay, we're going to practice being bored right now. Like, what are you going to do when you're bored?
It's terrifying to me that we are going to be relying on a generation of children who may not be able to co-create and think outside of the box.
Yeah. And I do see our school systems, I'd say, trying. Like a lot of the assignments, especially my older students, a lot of the assignments that my students are being asked to do, I can see that they're heading in the direction of, you know, critical thinking and problem solving and project-based ideas. But the problem that I see when I'm working with the students on these assignments is they don't have the underlying skill sets to complete the assignments. You know, they might be asked to write and record a public service announcement on a biology lesson they learned, but they're not really being taught what a public service announcement is and how to do it. So, like, there's all of these things involved in the assignments that they're supposed to do, but they're kind of failing miserably because there's not enough attention put on the components. So the learning's being lost, or the assignment just kind of sucks because they don't know how to do what they're being asked to do. Like, the teaching part is missing. The doing part is there, but the teaching part is missing.
My daughter has a drafting class that she's in this year, and the teacher spends more of his time on his phone watching YouTube videos than he actually does applying any kind of full attention to the students. And I just kind of go, well, why are you in that class then? Should we pull you out? I mean, you're getting nothing from it. And it's frustrating to me because, you know, we were very active in applying creativity in our education. And I find that that's just less and less and less. And schools are more policing rather than teaching. There's more of political coding that's very icky and sticky. So instead of having a teacher say, hey, you really rock, let's do this, or you can really improve here, there's a politicized overcoat where we're going to automate our education, police your children, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you combat that as a parent?
Well, my answer is everyone who can or is even like has the slightest spark of ability to do this should just pull your kids out of school and homeschool.
Yeah, I agree.
My kind of underlying hope is that I can change the American education system basically by removing the audience from education. You know, our system is huge and it's diverse, and I do believe it's doing the best it can. Like, I'm not saying it's ill intentioned. However, we have too many kids and too much diversity and too many different learning things, and we have a whole world of possibilities that school just can't open your children up to. It's impossible. There's not enough time. There's not enough space. There's not enough money. And, you know, it's just impossible. Whereas if I intend to homeschool my kids, they're just about 5 and 3 right now. So my little one will be, or my older one will be starting kindergarten. And if I can create learning experiences out of their interests, they can go so much deeper in the things they're interested in. It also gives them opportunities to change their interests. And as
right.
they're going deep in things that they're interested in, new interests are going to pop up. So it's not like if they're into dinosaurs, they're only ever going to look at dinosaurs for the rest of their life. You know, dinosaurs
right.
are going to lead them on to other things that are going to catch their attention, and then they're going to go deep again. And they can, you know, school is rotten for socializing. Everyone's argument against homeschooling is, oh, well, what about socialization? So in school, kids are supposed to sit in a classroom and be quiet, and then they're told to be quiet when they're not being quiet. And maybe they have a few minutes to talk to friends at lunch or in the hallways or whatever, but really it's not authentic socialization. And it creates also this dynamic of adults are the people I have to listen to all the time, as opposed to adults are someone I can have a conversation with.
Well,
and authentic socialization.
It's gotten, I think, I would add other words to that, but they're not polite. You know, my daughter's a freshman in high school this year, and just a little, another trivia fact for my presidential monopoly board or trivia pursuit, my high school was one of the first high schools to actually have a school shooting. Again, I'm many moons older now. Nothing for years. We didn't really have issues with things like that. And
yeah.
then it became like the subculture. And this year, her school is on complete lockdown. They have to have little key code cards. The classrooms are all locked, so nobody can get in.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, it's ridiculous. Back to policing your child. And the first
yeah.
floor, they cannot have the windows open. Not even the curtains
mm-hmm.
are open. So these kids are now in a society in which not only are they emotionally disabled, they are parentally challenged because both parents are working all the time, trying to
yep.
keep up with the economy that's just ever so broadening in poverty. And they're tuned into machines, tapped out
yeah.
of socialization, and when it comes to education, where they spend 6 to 8 hours, they're in a lockbox of policing and ideology of, well, I'm going to be the next rap star, I'm going to be the next pop star, oh, you're fat, you're this, you're that. And so there's this uncanny boiling of a new generation of kind of angry, stifled, I can't think of the other word that I'm looking for, but I think you're feeling what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah,
I just think
it's
not healthy by any stretch.
It's not, and there is anxiety is rampant. And like, if you look at, you know, all the education conferences and health conferences, everything is focusing on anxiety and mood disorders in schools and children. And, you know, when I talk to parents or schools about it, they're often like, oh, well, the school's doing a really great job. They're bringing in more psychologists or LCSWs and guidance counselors. I'm like, no, they're creating the problem in the first place.
Exactly.
You know, if we could work on stopping the creation of the problem, we wouldn't need all of these solutions. Of course, there are some people who will have difficulties for whatever reason. And sure, they do need solutions. But I really see that, especially in school, we're really setting our kids up for just extreme amounts of anxiety.
We used to have such an uptick on mental health issues. And as much as I want to blame pharma, because I do, I also blame our social mishaps. You know, there are very few Sunday church barbecues and community activities. It's like pulling teeth to get adults together, much less parents together,
yeah.
to hang out. And it's
yeah.
just our fear-based society is really overflowing into these children who are now afraid of being even going to school. I mean, my daughter's terrified to go to school. She's like, you know, they're doing freaking drills in closets almost every day. It's like, Jesus. And so she's afraid to go to school. She's afraid to go to the grocery store. She's afraid to go to the big box stores because, you know, what's been happening there, people have been showing up with guns. Like, and
yeah.
on top of that, she's afraid that she's not going to get good grades. She's afraid that she's not pretty enough. And all of this other anxiety, some of it is normal. But
right.
to boot, we have all this crap on TV.
Right. And you mentioned the economy that's becoming very hard to, you know, sustain yourself in. And yet we're telling students that to amount to anything, they need to go to college and take on all this debt. And while, you know, I don't have anything against students who want to go to college, it's like we're forcing kids in that path when really from an education perspective, a lot of the time it's not even necessary. Now, I know we still live in a society where, generally speaking, your economic success is determined by having a college degree and yada, yada, yada. But if you look at it from an education perspective, most of the education that you could get in college – you could get on your own from YouTube or from a book or whatever. Not in every case, of course, but we're just creating the, you know, you have to do these correct extracurricular activities and get these good grades so that you can go to college and get good grades so that you can get a good job.
And being the cynical that I am, I honestly kind of sit back and I have a college education. I'm very proud that I'm the first person in my family to have obtained a bachelor's degree. I'm not really using any skill that's special, extraordinary from that very expensive education. But larger than that, as a cynic, I'm sitting back going, well, if we have to pay a huge amount of money for colleges off of this
yeah.
demanded education, who's skewing the stats saying, you know, college students have a higher ratio of getting jobs? I think that's
yeah.
bullshit.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something I was talking about with someone the other day, and I want to dig into that issue a lot more. Like, what
yeah.
are those numbers really saying? Who are the people they're looking at when they're saying that? Who is sponsoring those studies? Yeah, I don't know enough at this point to be able to say one way or another, but I know that, you know, that's what you hear.
Well, and, you know, I think with someone like me, I would have done really well in trade school. Not to say that I didn't
yeah.
do well in book stuff. I think I'm more of a hands-on creator. I like to break things and put them back together. And
sure.
I think we need to really open up the ideology that some kids are just meant to break things and put them back together and, you know, build rockets and race cars, and that's totally cool. And not this
yeah.
overwhelming bookworm kind of ideology.
Right. It doesn't all have to be, you know, read this, learn this, take a test on it. There's just so many things. And I think, too, the other thing that bugs me is the emphasis that, okay, if you're not a bookworm, you can go to trade school. Again, trade schools are great. So is being a bookworm. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But it's still
right.
limiting. There's still so much out there. There's really no entrepreneurial focus, you know, just creating ideas. Where is that?
I think it really has to come from the parents, and we're overwhelmed. I mean, I'm a full-time single mom
right.
trying to juggle three jobs, writing books, and raising my daughter, doing laundry, doing dishes, trying to be available to her and present on top of trying to just be human on my own, in my own world. So
yeah.
it's very difficult the way we have constructed our society to have a balance with that. And yeah. I'm very fortunate that my daughter travels with me, and she goes to speaking my speaking engagements, and she listens to the radio show on occasion, and she meets the individuals that are inspiring and motivating and exciting and creative and outside of the box thinking. And from that, her world is a little bit different than I think her peers. So in a lot of regards, that influence has influenced her to have a first goal and a secondary goal for her education so that she's always working and she always has that stability. And I'm very proud of her. She's 14, right? But
that's amazing for a 14-year-old.
Oh, yeah, she's great. I mean, she's got college scholarships already. And I'm like, go. I'm proud of you. You do you. This is exactly what you want to do. She's going to cosmopolitan. So in Florida, we're really fortunate. She has the opportunity to get her high school diploma and her associate's degree on the same graduation day.
Yeah, I've worked with a couple students who were dual enrolled in that way, yeah.
Right. So, and that's what she's doing. And she's really focused on her art, which is the Ringling Scholarships. But as her secondary, she is focused on dermatology. So she's going to go to school for cosmetology while getting her high school diploma so that when she's going to medical school, she is doing hair and makeup to pay. And I'm like, where did you even come from? Like, that's amazing thinking. Good for you.
Yeah.
And I fully
amazing.
Support her.
And did she come up with that on her own? Or
on her
she
own.
Have guidance in
no.
school? That's amazing.
Yeah. No, but again, I think he has a leg up because of what I do in our personal life. And not all kids have that opportunity. So how do we create opportunities like that for all kids so that they can think of their future as a multifaceted?
You know,
construction. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I often steer kids to podcasts and shows like Joe Rogan and Stuff You Should Know and whatever, because it, you know, it's culture, so they're into it. But at the same time, it's like these people talk about things or talk to people that our kids have never heard of before, that we've never heard of before. And it gives them exposure in a way that we may not be able to because of our busy lives. While I would love to say, stop being busy, make family your priority. You know, even for someone who wants to do that, it's a challenge. It takes a very long time to make it happen if you are trying to make it happen. So what can you expose your kids to that is a little bit outside the box without necessarily having to leave your home until you've created a life when you can do that?
Well, and I don't know if you knew, I was on a game show until today. I'm crying. I'm tearing. It was Funky Thinkers. Yeah. So I made it to the semifinals, but I didn't make it to the finals. Damn it. But anyway, I'm still a winner. It's called Funky Thinkers, and Jonathan is out of England, and he's gathered people from all over the world to have basic human contact and conversation on short little questions, and it's fun, and it's sparky, and it's delicious, and exciting, and you get to meet people and share and reminisce about life and what you would want to do when you grow up kind of thing. And I think we need more of that style. Like, I challenge everybody to check out Funky Thinkers. Because we are inundated with police reports and gun rights and lobbyists and politics and name bullying and all of this stuff is just filling our households and filling our grocery stores and filling the back of our cars with bumper stickers, you know, just like inundated with negativity.
Yeah.
We don't have enough.
Like, you're not allowed.
Go ahead.
For it.
We don't have stuff. Go.
The awkward radio show moment. We're not allowed to think differently than other people. It's like, if you don't think the same way as I do, I'm not going to be your friend. I'm not going to talk to you. Whereas what we need to support is having that open discussion about, well, why do you think differently than I do? What do you know that I don't know? Do you perceive the world in a different way than I do? And I've realized for me, whenever I feel most strongly against something, is a signal to me that I need to examine it more carefully, because perhaps my mind will change. Doesn't always, but it definitely has sometimes, and I'm really grateful that I've allowed myself to look into those things that I'm like, nope, that's not for me. Nope, definitely not.
I love individuals who I can sit with and have a true debate with. And, you know, I was in debating club in high school. I love to debate. But I don't do what's going on in the world now with this negativity and this lashing out and this cutthroat
yeah.
weird stuff. I don't think
yeah.
that's constructive, and I don't think that you get to really come out of that conversation with any kind of chewing on. Like, I love having conversations where I walk away and I'm chewing on something. I think about it for a few days and I'm like, wow, that really motivates me, or that really pisses me off, or, you know, that really makes me want to do this, or I want to have another conversation with that person to create that and make it bigger and see if we can actually feel it. We don't have
yes.
those conversations anymore, and it's really destructive.
Yes. Yeah. You either agree with me or you don't, and if you don't, well, the conversation's over. Or I'm just going to yell at you and tell you why you're wrong and why I'm right, but there's no thinking around anything outside of that.
Do you think that we've completely and utterly destroyed compassion?
Oh, man. That's a
I
really
know.
Good
I,
question.
I didn't say it was going to be an easy show.
I wouldn't say it's gone, but I think that we are definitely seeing a movement away from it. Like, I'm just not willing to say it's gone, because I do see it in people, and especially in young people who maybe haven't had everything so jaded for them yet. But I do think that we are becoming so self-centered and so like now, because of our fast-paced society, that we are starting to lose some of that. Interesting. I have a friend living in our house right now, and this is not an unusual situation, because I had a friend living in my house a couple years ago for about 6 months because they were in tough situations. And everyone thought we were crazy. Wow, you're letting someone live in your house and you're feeding them and you're not charging rent. And like, isn't that weird? Isn't that awkward? Like, aren't you annoyed that someone's there? And my response is no, of course not. They're a friend. They were in a tough situation. I don't have money to give them, but I can give them a loving home and invite them to be part of our family. And
right.
It was perfectly normal to me. But the amount of pushback I got and the amount of people who were like, well, you know, they need to suck it up and get it together and, like, you know, get a job or – and believe me, it's not that these people were being lazy and not
– No, I know.
That. It was just
right.
unfortunate circumstances. And, like, well, yeah, that is their intention. They're not, you know, freeloading, but this is the way life is right now, and I'm giving them a place to stay while they are working on it, because – how else are they supposed to move forward?
Well, and right now with the way that our society is going, it's very, very, very hard to have a house and to have – the affordability is ridiculous, but that's a completely different
yeah.
radio show. Believe
yeah.
it or not, you and I are running out of time. And I'm so grateful that you're sitting here with me and getting ready to have mimosas on my birthday. So thank you for taking the time. This is so awesome, and I just love you. Let's talk about where we can find you. How can we find more information about you?
Well, I'm trying very hard to step up my social media presence. So, you know, I look like a real human being in today's world, because you got to be on Facebook to be a human being, right? I don't actually believe that, but that's kind of what I have to do. So on Facebook, I am Carrie Paxton Hertzberger. And best way to get a hold of me right now is send me a DM, and I will absolutely respond back. I will give you a call. You know, any of those things is probably the best way right now. I also do have a YouTube show that I'm just kind of starting out with. Well, all right, I'm not just starting. It's been going for a couple months, but I'm not entirely consistent because up until this week, I've not really ever had childcare. But now that's a whole nother story. But I now have some help so I can get more things done. But my YouTube show is called Unleashed with Carrie, and I interview mostly people who sucked in school but who are now highly successful to talk about their school journeys. And I also talk about some experts in helping people who might be in that situation.
And I love it. And I love the fact that you finally got some help so that you can do this, because this is a great mission that you're on. And
it's
I really
amazing.
Appreciate it. From one mother to another and from one educator to another, we need to have more conversations about this and really tear open and unwrap the crap that we've just inundated our kids with, because they are cool and they're special and they're wonderful and they're multidimensional, and the world is an exciting and beautiful place. I just wish more kids could actually grow up knowing the beauty of the world versus what they hear and see on TV and social media.
Yeah, because we need that. Like, we need their uniqueness for our future.
For all of humanity's future, yeah. You know,
yeah.
It's a lot of work ahead. So give us your top five things that parents need, could, should, would benefit from doing with their kids moving forward. Now that we've had this really in-depth conversation of all the things that are blocking them.
Absolutely. Number one in my mind is time outside. Whether it's you're having dinner outside or you're going for a hike or you're playing a sport, whatever it is, time outside. Being outside just transforms us. It's so good for us. There's so much research behind that. Absolutely number one, get outside. I would say number two, just block out some time to be a family. And if there's not a lot of time right now, or you have teenagers who aren't going to be, you know, all that receptive to that right now, just 5 minutes, you know, start somewhere. Anyone can commit to 5 minutes of sitting in the living room together. Even if you don't have anything to talk about, that's okay. Just 5 minutes. Number three, homeschool if you can, or if you can't, create experiences where your family can do things and learn together. I really recommend the book, The 5-Hour School Week, because it shows you how you can kind of create just a casual learning anything. I'll probably leave it at the three. I feel like any more would just be overwhelming.
So here's a great way to end the show. I would love to hear your thoughts on 4-day schools. You know, they're having this back and forth conversation here about having a 4-day school week. And there's pros and there's cons, but what are your thoughts as an educator?
You know, over my entire 10 years of teaching, I always said, I wish there were a 4-day school week and a 5-day teacher week. Teachers need time to get stuff done. During the school day, they have very little time, and it's often filled up with meetings. So, you know, there's no time for planning what you're going to teach as a teacher, because you're always filled up with meetings and paperwork. So, like, if you want to plan something, that's usually on your own time at home. And for kids, I mean, kids are tired. They're in school a lot. They're overscheduled. And if they need a break. They need time to be kids. They need time to do things that they want to do and that they feel good at. And sometimes school isn't one of the things they feel good at.
I think it's an amazing opportunity for kids to be kids. I have a real hard time with parents who stop that wonderment And it, I know it's none of my business what other parents do, but when I watch, I'm like, they're supposed to be twirling and picking their nose at baseball games. That's part of being a child, and you're growing and you're inviting creativity and your mind is expanding and you're experiencing things for the first time. And we as adults forget the deliciousness of that first time exposure to life. We've become jaded and we've filled our lives up with being so incredibly busy that we don't even have time to think on our own or to creatively adjust to, you know, say tragedy or chaos or whatever life's going to throw at us. And we turn that into this power play of changing our children and trying to make them an adult at the age of 8 or 9. And I struggle with that. I just, it's like, no, man, if I could go back and catch ants and catch frogs and sing to the moon and not be locked up because I'm now 44, I totally would do it. You know, there's that whole delicious creativity that you have and that wonderment.
Yes.
So we are down to 1 minute, and that 1 minute is yours, my friend. Where can we find you one more time, and what are your last words? What are your last thoughts?
You can find me on Facebook at Carrie Paxton Hertzberger and on YouTube at Unleashed with Carrie. That'll be changing eventually. My last words are learn something different, learn somewhere different, and learn differently.
So she's basically saying go and jump in mud puddles and have a good time with life. That's it.
Any dirty day is a good day, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Dirty Day is the best.
Yes.
So I am grateful that you spent time with me this morning. So thank you so much. And I cannot wait to see your next episodes of Unleashed. I love the title. I love what you're doing. I fully support you. And hopefully one day we'll circle around and have tea together again. And I would love that.
Yes. And a happy birthday to you.
Thank you, darling. It's going to be a good snuggle day. You're
that
listening to Living and Thriving. Thanks, love. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and what a great way to spend my birthday, inspiring, co-creating, having conversations, really delving into possibilities, taking a deep dive on reality, and sharing that with you. So thank you for honoring me with listening to the show today, and go check out Unleashed. Go check out Carrie's work and call her. She's got some great ideas for you and your family. If you're struggling getting that jump start on taking an hour or two out for family time, we do Sunday fun day in my house. We throw food in the car. We get in the car and we either take a left or a right and we just go until we can't go anymore and we explore. And that's a great bonding time for my daughter and I. We get to have conversations about different lives and towns and ways of being. And there's compassion built in there. There's understanding. There's forgiveness. And there's, oh, wow, whew, it could be worse, right? So until next time, know that I love you. Know that you're beautiful. Do something kind for somebody. Buy a cup of coffee, pay for a toll. I don't know. Love yourself. Go do a spa day, even if you have to do it in your own bathroom. Turn up your music. Dance really hard. Scream at the top of your lungs your favorite song. I don't know. Raise your vibration. You're beautiful. I love you. And until next time.
Living and vibing with Rusty.